Hey, you guys, it's me, Bonnie, your host of the Grieving Girl podcast. And today we are wrapping up season two with the one, the only, Adam Hoyak.
Hi. Woo! Enter applause.
Guys, if you don't know Adam personally, you probably might know that we reference him in every episode. This is Adam, our editor, producer. What's the difference between an editor and a producer?
Well, I think the editor does the editing, and I think I wouldn't call myself a producer because I feel like money is involved in producing.
Oh.
And I don't have any of that.
I'm the executive producer.
Yeah, you're the creator, producer, writer, and all I do is add in the applause and the little pictures.
I also think sometimes the producer is involved in like the planning.
Well,
like scheduling
yeah.
and stuff. Organization.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't do that.
No, but you know, one day we'll make them the producer. One day when we've got big money coming
I'm like,
in.
What do I do on this podcast?
One day when I have 500 YouTube subscribers and 3,000 watch hours. You know, that's what you have to do to start making money on YouTube.
Oh, really?
It's crazy. That's a lot of hours.
That's a lot of hours and a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, two seasons, we have 255 followers on YouTube. So I'm like, okay, so by season four, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah. But in the off season, I'm going to concentrate more on creating more social media reels and shorts. Yeah. And I think that that could help.
Those I feel do really well.
Yeah. So while we're not releasing biweekly episodes, I'll be doing that.
Right.
But, you know. Who has effing time?
No, there's no time. There's never any time.
Yeah,
it's I don't even know what day it is.
Today,
Saturday.
It's Sunday. See?
There it is. It's Sunday.
To Sunday. All right, you guys. Well, we're just wrapping it up. You know, I always like to circle it back, kind of come up with the summary of the point of the season. Hopefully you've gotten through all the episodes. If you haven't, go back.
They're Listen. Good. This season is even better than the first season.
Which we love.
Yeah, we do love it.
What did you get out of the season since you have to sit there and listen to every single episode multiple times, like just rewinding, editing? Anything poignant or like that stood out?
Yeah. Well, apart from it just being a fun time editing. Obviously, I love doing it. I love adding the sound effects. I love putting the little pictures in there, especially when people do little and get zoom in moments. That's always fun. But I feel like the thing that I enjoyed the most about this season, because the first season, it was just, we're getting our footing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to set something up. We're going to create a space, a safe space, to allow people to connect with us and relate and be like, yo, what you're going through could be grief, you know? Mm-hmm. And I specifically in the last episode of the first season with you, me, and Audrey, mm-hmm. and we spell the word grief and we say, well, y'all did. And I had to count it on my fingers because I was like, I didn't go to school for that.
LOL.
But it was, you know, grief is a 5-letter word that means so much and so little. And I feel that it was really great in the first season to be like, yo, what you are probably feeling in some capacity doesn't have to be about a death. It could be about loss of relationship, loss of a pet, or, mm-hmm. you know, anything. It could be grief. And this season was about, great, now that we've established that what we're going through could be grief, let me grieve.
Mm.
And let me do it in a way that works for me. And I feel universally with every episode that was, I mean, I feel like every single episode was different in a sense of the experiences were different, the points of view were different. Some had tears, some did not. And you know, and I base it off of the editing as well. Sometimes I was editing a lot and having all these opportunities to be like, oh, this is a great moment. It feels light. It feels, we love the laughter. We, you know, ain't it good to laugh, you
right.
know? And then there were moments where I, you know, would text you and I'm like, I didn't really need to edit too much because this needed to be this and it needed to have no added effects or pictures or anything that led to the humor. You covered so much with so many people, and the big takeaway for me was like, yeah, now we've established that we're grieving, so let me do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me grieve and let me do it in a way that works for me. And everybody kind of had that mentality,
right,
with everything that they went through,
right,
which was very special and very refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting that you're saying like every single episode was different, which I think is like one of those like more annoying things that we put on each other, right? Because at some in some situation, you're going to be the support system or the griever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's for everybody of just like everyone is different.
Exactly.
And every scenario is different. Every relationship is different. So to say like, I get it. I know I had the same thing. It's like you're never going to have the same thing. You're never going to actually get it. You're never going to really know how that person's feeling. And I think that that's one of the more annoying things that people do is just like the compare or the trying to relate. And it's like, you know, it's only because people don't want you to feel alone. But like, I will say it's all in blue in the face of like grief is the loneliest journey you will ever go on.
Yeah.
Even if you are surrounded by love and support.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you know, that people around you love you and support you and want the best for you and like just, you know, want to be there to help. But like you could be in a room full of people and literally feel like you are there by yourself.
Yeah.
So like, I think, you know, one of the points of having this season was to kind of like remind people of that. Like it sucks to watch someone sit in a room and be like, she's like totally somewhere else.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can do is just like continue to be there and not feel the need to force things on them.
Exactly.
I think that was like one of the biggest points of doing this was like to show how everyone is so different.
Yeah.
You know, even like, oh, we both lost our moms, but like relationships with moms could be different, or the way in which you lose your mom is different. The, you know, the closeness, there's somebody could be estranged, like you just never know. So even though it's like, oh, we both lost our moms, I totally get it. It's like,
you don't.
Right. I mean, look at the difference of like Katie Knight's episode and me. It's like, you know, she lost her mom when she was 12. And so like, sure, we have both lost a parent in our tween teen years. So there's like, there are similarities in like the way that we like kind of remember, kind of don't, and that stuff. But like her relationship with her mom is one thing. And then I had only my mom for what seems like my whole life, basically.
Yeah.
So, and she was a traumatic death. So like, sure, we both lost our moms, but like, it's so effing different.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was definitely one of the points to just reiterate to people, like every scenario is not the same.
Yeah.
So don't do that to people.
Yeah, don't. Sometimes it's just, like you said, it's just good to, of course, we don't want the people in our lives that we love the most to live in a place where they do look like they're somewhere else, or they're very clearly going through something. And as our human instinct with the people we love is to kind of, I need to do whatever I can to get you out of there. But sometimes you kind of need to be there for a little bit. And if you try to, what am I trying to, I don't know my words, but I know my heart. What am I trying to say? So for me, in like this whole year of my life, which has been filled with grief in many different ways, I feel the thing that I feel has been working, and I feel very lucky and blessed no one has ever come to me being like, I know exactly what you're going through, or like, let's, you know, let's not live there. Like, let's not do this. Like, let's, you know, I feel like I've gained a lot of permission. I didn't ask for it, but because I don't have to, but I've been given a lot of permission and leeway to be like, you gotta feel what you gotta feel. When you're ready to be vulnerable, you will be vulnerable, and you're gonna do that on your own time. And I feel like if people were to come at me and be like, well, I went through the same thing, or, you know, let's not be there. Like, come on, come out of that hole. Like, it would make me feel more alone, because I already feel lonely.
Right.
And I already feel alone in my own sense. But if you're going to try to connect with me in a way that's completely different from my experience, mm-hmm. you're only going to amplify me feeling you don't know what I'm going through.
Right.
And you don't know. And it's going to make me feel more lonely.
Right.
So I think that when we encounter people going through any type of grief, while it does suck to see your friends be in that place. I mean, I, you know, you and I have been so close for so many years now. Mm-hmm. And I have seen you personally go to a lot of these sad places, mm-hmm. but you have to be there.
Yeah.
You have to be there. And sometimes there's nothing I can do but be like sitting next to you.
Right.
Or just be like on my birthday, you know, that was a big moment for you to kind of like.
Wait, remind me.
Did we end up going to the Christmas Village?
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, what did we do?
Yeah. That was so long
yes,
ago.
Literally, yes.
It feels like my birthday and the holiday season feels like it was
three years ago.
100 years ago.
Absolutely. I don't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday. Yeah, we went to the Christmas Village.
Yeah, we went to the Christmas Village.
And I don't do Christmas anymore.
No, yeah. You don't do that anymore. You did it for me because you're a wonderful friend. And you also took it as an opportunity to be like, I want to create new memories
yes.
during this time. And I hope you were able to do that. I had a lovely birthday. It was lovely. I was happy to be there with you and be there with all the friends. But we got to the park. We went to go get alcoholic beverages, hot chocolates, and Kenny G started playing, and
yeah.
you had to walk away.
I did. I had to remove myself.
And all I did, and all I could do was go up to you, rub your back, and say, cry.
Yeah. Like, and then take a sip.
Cry. And then I went to go drink.
Like, go ahead and cry. And also sip on this.
Yeah. And here, have a drink of this. You don't want it? Cool. I'll take it. Like, it's okay.
But also, like, let's talk about that. Like, why the was Kenny G playing at the Philadelphia Christmas Village? It just felt like my mom was like, good job.
She was.
It was also
totally
the perfect group. It was like, there were only a few of us.
Yeah, it wasn't a big thing.
We were going to mini golf. Like it was.
I love mini golf, my favorite thing.
It was like the perfect little thing. We weren't going to make a Christmas memory. We were just
no.
like going to do things for your birthday in
right.
a Christmas sense.
It was about me.
But the fact, absolutely. The fact that all of a sudden like Kenny G Christmas started playing, I was like, I'm sorry. We're at like a very commercial thing.
Mm-hmm.
It should be 101 hits basically would
right.
be what I expect. Like Christmas, Kenny G is a little like category B.
Sure.
C. I would
yeah.
go with C.
Okay.
So the fact that Kenny G Christmas started playing, I was like, whoa,
but he's
God.
Category A in our hearts.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Kenneth, you know how I feel.
Yeah.
Thanks for the birthday.
Oh,
Kenneth.
My God. Did you? I guess you haven't really talked about that on this podcast because
no.
it's not appropriate. But, well, it is appropriate because Kenny G we love. But you got a birthday video from Kenny G.
I did. Well, and I
and
also
played the saxophone.
And I also
for
cried
real.
Because it's like that's something that like I attach with my parents.
Yeah.
Like I didn't just like pick up Kenny G as a 10-year-old being like, I love this guy.
Right. You're just like, wow.
Some might, but not
this,
me.
No. And that's so special. And I do think that that moment when Kenny G started playing was a sign from your mom being like, good.
Right.
For you.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. You're out for your friend. But like, love you, girl. Sending some vibes.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something, especially on your social media. You have been very big on the signs.
Oh, yeah. I've always been a clinger to signs because that's all you fucking have at the end of it. I'm like, if you don't believe in signs, like death and all of that, I think it's even worse.
Yeah.
So at least if you can cling to the signs, you're like, I know that they're somewhere else.
Yeah.
But my mom was a big believer in signs. My grandmother was. And also, like, there's just been too much crazy shit that has happened to us as a family and, like, to my mom, to me and my sister, that I'm like, you can't poo-poo them.
Yeah.
And the more open you are, the more you will realize what those signs are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like, you just figure it out.
Yeah.
That you're like, no, I'm not just, like, seeing 303, 606 on the clock every day or in some capacity in numbers. Like, that doesn't just, like, happen.
No.
You know what I mean? Or, like, seeing random hibiscus. Like, that's right. crazy. And I don't know why in my head I always knew that was going to be something. And, like, now I see them everywhere.
Yeah.
And at random times.
Right. When you need it, sometimes when you don't.
Right.
But it's nice.
Yeah.
The coincidence, right. not a thing.
No. Not when it comes to spirit and energy. No. Which I'm like, that's a whole season in itself.
Yo. Well, you have claimed to be quite clairvoyant.
Literally yesterday. Okay, this is so random. This is random.
No, go on to it.
Could be coincidence. I don't think it is.
No.
So
we just said coincidence is not a thing.
Not, yeah. So... yeah, I really should go to psychic school.
Do they have that?
I mean, I don't know, but like I knew when both my parents died before it was gonna, like before I was told, or like I knew something bad was gonna happen with my
really?
Mom.
Really?
Yeah, like my intuition.
I don't think we've ever talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, my intuition's kind of crazy. Yeah, I knew my dad died before anybody told me, and I wasn't even there. I wasn't at the hospital. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And then I just like knew something bad was gonna happen to my mom that day.
Oh,
like I was like crying when she was signing herself in. It was like well, because yeah. I was so like anxious.
Yeah, you're like,
I had taken
not
her
right.
her to a few things before and never felt like that. But it started when I woke up.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which like we can dive into that you know, at some
season.
Point in another
yeah.
season when I feel like I can more freely speak about that day.
Sure, of course.
Hopefully within a year.
Or
but,
within 2 years or 5 years?
Yeah.
When no. we're on season 20.
No, it better be within the year and a half, I better be able to say what I want to say. Otherwise, I'm going to go insane. But here's how I know that I'm psychic.
Yeah, tell me.
Or I have some sort of weird tendency. And if you're listening, being like, Bonnie's lost it. Maybe I
this
have.
Is gonna...
Go listen, with me on this journey.
Cuckoo-ca-choo, please, bring it on. I feel like the most insane person on the planet half the time. Like,
so yesterday, we went to see Adam in a cool reading at the Drake, which I had never been. I had never been there.
Oh, you never been there?
No, that's like half the reason. I was like, oh, he's doing it. Oh, I've never been there. Let me go see this. Like, I've not
it's
really
a cute little space.
Seen any little black boxes in Philadelphia.
I've never performed there. I've auditioned there.
Yeah.
Once or twice, but it was cool to be there.
So when I was 14, actually the summer before my dad passed away, I did this summer program at the Prince Music Theater when it was still
okay.
a functioning
still
producing
a
theater, ugh, which like bring it
loss.
Back.
Yeah.
They did this amazing team program where it was like 2 months and all day long you were in classes and coachings. It was amazing. And then the second day of half of the day was rehearsal and we did West Side Story.
Oh,
and
so fun.
Two times in my life I played a shark girl and I wanted you to know that like I was a child so I didn't know any better.
Yeah, we're not gonna cancel you. You were so
if
little.
Anything, the educators.
Different
hold them accountable.
Yes.
It was you know, would it happen now? I don't know.
We would hope not.
I would hope not, but teachers be wild.
And desperate.
They said, well, Bonnie can dance, so she must be a shark.
Well, listen, hey, you know.
Anyway, so I was a shark girl in West Side Story in 2003.
Okay.
And yeah, it was like the coolest experience regardless. And like the talent of teens was like everywhere from all over South Jersey, like Cherry Hill, Morristown, Philadelphia,
so cool.
surrounding suburbs of Philly. It was really cool. Anyway, so I walk into the space yesterday and I literally had this thought of like some, I couldn't tell you that it was like me being like, this is like the Prince Music Theater. I just like the Prince Music Theater popped into my head.
Yeah, of course.
Literally the weirdest little thing of like Prince Music Theater. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Going about, we go in, we get seats, we sit down next to Gio.
Yeah.
So it's Gio, Mark, myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then in front of us is this girl. You were talking to her last night. Her name was Megan.
Megan O'Brien. I love you. If you are listening to this, you're probably not, but I'll send it to you. I love you. You mean everything to me. You're my inspiration. You're my mom away from home. I'm obsessed with you. And yeah.
You're the meaning in my life.
She's amazing. But yes.
Megan looked very familiar.
Yes. She was one of the co-founders, resident directors of 11th Hour.
Okay.
Yeah, I met her when I was in school. She cast me in my very first lead at college. And then since then, she has done nothing but look out for me, believe in me, be a cheerleader. Like,
we love those kinds of friends.
Yes. And that's it. We've become friends. And yeah. I love her.
I couldn't
more
pinpoint
than anything.
Like where I might know her from.
Sure.
But
you may have auditioned for her at some point.
I've never auditioned for the 11th Hour.
It's no longer a thing, unfortunately.
Oh, see, that's how much I knew. Guys, as much as I'm like from Philadelphia, I'm new to the Philly theater scene. It's only, you know. But regardless, next to her was this guy. And so I'm like, you look really familiar. And she's like, well, what's your name? And I said, Bonnie. And he turned around and he said, Bonnie Kelly. And I was like,
famous.
That's me. That is I. And he's like, you might not remember. He was like, but I had been seeing your name like all over the place because of Grease.
Yeah.
And he was like, I did the Prince Music Theater with you.
What was his name?
Peter. And he was like, I was the Fat Jet. And I was like, first of all, if you think I remember that about anyone, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I was
not that.
I know. I was like, first of all, you were a Jet, period. Yeah. You were also a tweenager teenager.
Sure.
Like, you know, we're just all doing our best in our teen years. But he was like, you might remember. And now that you're saying his last name.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm saying it that way either, because I don't know him, but I know his name.
No,
and
now
I've
I'm like,
him,
okay, that
and
name's.
Think that was him, was Peter.
Yeah, it has my wheels spinning a little bit more.
And if you are listening to this, Peter, and it wasn't you, I'm sorry.
No, that name's, now I'm going to have to Google and stalk for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that he was like, I did the Prince Music Theater with you, I was like, that is wild.
Yeah.
That I walked in and had this like, boop, Prince Music Theater thought.
Yeah.
Not necessarily about the program or anybody involved. And then that was like within the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm a psychic.
I thought, 100% you're psychic.
That's weird.
No,
that's the last time I thought about the Prince Music Theater in that capacity of like,
yeah,
it was bizarre. I've never met anybody since 2003 from the Prince Music Theater.
The only times, because so the like it's disgusting. it's funny that you bring up the Prince Theater because I hadn't been thinking about it in that capacity. But one of the songs that Rachel sang, the opening, I guess, of Act Two. Which is like Mama Not a Minute Before. Mm-hmm. She did a show by Michael Ogborn called The Three Maries, which was at the Prince Theater. So every time she sang it, I thought about that because I saw it. I think I saw it twice. And so it's funny that you bring up the Prince Theater because
it was
on my mind during the reading as well, because I would listen to her sing it and I'm like, this was from The Three Maries. It's just been reworked for this musical.
Weird.
Wild. You are psychic.
Yeah, it was just too bizarre. It's like too out of nowhere
yeah.
to then like sit down and someone be like, we did that together over 20 years ago.
Right. You came in and you were like, oh, I don't know why I'm getting Prince Theater vibes, but okay.
Literally.
And then somebody goes, I did that with you.
If I was a psychic, I'd have been like, you're about to meet someone from the Prince Music Theater.
Yeah.
You know, but I just don't know how to channel my gift yet.
Channel the gift.
Awesome.
Well, yeah.
I've had a few psychics tell me that I'm very sensitive and that if I did, I would be very good.
Have you seen many psychics?
Yeah.
Really?
If I could dump my money into psychics and mediums, I
really?
Would. Yeah.
I'm too nervous to do that. Because I feel
why?
I think it makes me feel like I'm like I got like so when I was a kid, high school, when I was a kid, I was singing in the Allstate Choir, got in by default because it snowed that day and I didn't have to go to the audition. They let anybody in that year. And
you would have made it regardless.
No, because I can't sight read and I couldn't sight read then. That was a big component.
I have a really good tip for you.
Oh.
The root is always dough.
Thank so, you.
If it's in C major, a C is always the dough. And then you have to work backwards or up.
I, during this reading,
and that's a shout out read to Chris Bass.
Chris Bass.
Christine, she might listen. I don't, honestly, Mrs. Bass, if you're listening, the root is always dough, girl.
Hey, girl, you taught her something.
Sometimes I can still sight read. Keyword sometimes. Anyway.
I just sight read a lot for this reading, and our music director, Ryan Toohey, phenomenal, would be like, so that's going to be a G? Do you want to write that in? And in my brain, I was like, it's not going to make a difference if I write it in. I'm just going to write. I'm going to write literally on my page, the note is different. And I'm going to know what that means.
Diagonal arrow up.
Literally, I'm like, just go up. Trash. But I was singing the Allstate Choir. It was in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
Have you ever been?
No.
Go. So.
Have I been to Savannah? No, Savannah's one of the only southern cities I haven't been to.
Oh.
That's like on my list.
You need to go.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the most haunted It is one of the most haunted cities in the nation.
I should go.
It is very spooky, ooky, kooky, but it's like a Georgian New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Open container. Uh-huh. You literally walk into bars and they go, here to go.
Oh.
And I'm like, always to go. One for here, one to go. And it's, so we were there and my mom was like, I want to go to see a psychic. And my stepdad had just died. So maybe, well, yeah, I think it was like a year or so after. And, you know, the psychic was like, everybody can come in and sit around, you know, creating this beautiful like ASMR moment. And she was very on the nose.
Yeah.
And it was like, I had personally been like, my mom didn't come here to talk to this lady before we got here. She made a spur of the moment decision. I know she didn't set up this appointment. She didn't make an appointment.
Right.
She didn't talk to anybody. She didn't have a meeting. This woman giving this reading to my mom is really on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's always resonated with me. So it makes me a little nervous to even, I'm of course curious about it, but I feel like anytime, like of course when I pass walking through Philadelphia, because I walk everywhere and they have the little psychic shops, I'm like, I could go in and get a reading. And then I go, no, because I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I'm too scared. I feel I don't want to be told anything that I'm not ready to hear.
Well, I don't
know.
And
that's something I have to go through on my own.
Yeah, I feel like most psychics, if there's like something bad, they're not going to tell you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's like the overall is like they won't tell you any bad news.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but I feel like most of them.
How many psychics have you been to, would you say?
A lot.
A lot.
Even if we're just counting like palm readings?
Yeah.
Palm tarot. Spiritual medium.
Spiritual crystal balls. Like.
Over 10 in my lifetime, but I've also been like clinging to spirit since I was 14.
Well, yeah.
So like I remember being like 16 and going.
Wow.
To a medium with my mom.
Yeah.
And you know, some are really good and some are not. The most recent one that my sister and I have gone to, he's our guy now.
Yeah.
So.
He's your guy.
He's our guy. That's
you go.
Like that. Yeah. This will be my, I'm seeing him October. It'll be my third time.
Oh, we have an appointment.
October 1st. He'll be in Philadelphia. Going.
He travels.
Yeah, but I don't think usually this far, so this is cool.
That is so
neat. Well, he does travel,
neat.
But it's either like always in North Jersey or like different states. So yeah. I'm very excited that he's coming.
That is so cool.
Yeah. It's a group reading. So
oh,
like
okay.
Might get read and I might not, but both times I've seen him I have gotten something.
Yeah. My sister, I don't think she really does it so much now, but she definitely for a while was very into tarot and she's very spiritual and not Wiccan, I'm not gonna say that, but witchy. She identifies as a witch.
Ooh, yeah,
love
same.
It and
same.
I think that's so cool. And and she would do tarot readings for me sometimes when I could go home to visit,
yeah,
in person, or she would do things over the phone. And she was very big of being like using music as like a medium for it. And she was also very on the nose. My sister definitely has a gift.
Yeah.
There. And it's very cool to see. It's a little spooky, ooky, kooky sometimes when it really is on the nose. And yeah. I'm like, what is going on?
Well, tarot here? Is cool because you also can like take from it what you want and yeah. leave what you don't feel like you need at that moment.
Right.
You know, that's why they're like almost like speak over the cards about, you know, ask it a question.
Yeah.
So that you're in that place in your brain. So sure. then if things apply, great. And if they don't, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So you must be asking the deck the correct thing.
Okay. I like that. Wait, I want to pivot because that was a huge brain break for us, which I absolutely love, but very necessary.
Also,
to
like
the conversation.
Anybody grieving clings to anybody yeah. grieving in terms of death. It's like most sure. of us are looking for signs.
And I wanted to ask you, and you might not have an answer, yes. and I hope it's an appropriate question because I'm going to phrase it. I'm going to try to phrase it in a way that doesn't sound too kooky. But I wanted to ask you, caught in the cords, sorry. oh, spooky. I wanted to ask you, this has been two seasons
uh-huh.
of this podcast.
Okay.
And one of the things that I've kind of admired of you personally as a human being, but also for you starting this podcast, was to create a space for people to connect with you. And
you guys, this is really funny. It actually still sounds like we're recording. We're just
yeah,
recording.
So that's fine. But we know, at this point, we're just here for the experience.
So just, if you're like, it sounds different, it's because it does.
It's because it does. And the program decided to be cuckoo-cuckoo, and that's life.
We
and
started talking spirit.
And spirit said, you're done.
Spirit came through the computer and said,
yeah, you've had enough. Which happened on another episode of this season. There was another one where it like cut, you remember it like cut out.
Oh yeah.
And the audio stopped.
No,
or no,
the camera stopped.
Which
it's an iPhone, so it shouldn't have.
No, that was weird. And I literally was like,
spirit.
You were like, just say the spirits have enough.
Yeah,
and
I think I'm just gonna say that from now on. There's a technical glitch, but we were actually talking about spirit, so.
We were. Okay, so I'm going to go back, even though yeah. we're going to pretend like the audio is working in these microphones, so I see it's not recording at all.
No, it's literally...
And this is going to be great, because I know the camera can hear us. Every single time I, like, match up the audio, I always think, I'm like, if the audio were to ever back out, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's different, but it's fine.
So if you're in your car listening, it is what it is.
Yeah, and now it probably sounds like we're... in a living room, which we are. That's reality. What I was going to ask you where we stopped.
I love that we're talking in the microphone.
Yeah,
they're not
doing anything.
These are a prop.
Yeah, at this point, we're just acting. We're putting our BFAs to work, and that's it.
That's it. Any hooser.
I wanted to ask you again, and I want to try to phrase it in a way that is not... Cuckoo-cuckoo, how do you feel that having started this podcast
mm-hmm.
and creating this space where you've been able, I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I am talking in the microphone because I do. It's just, it feels weird being like this with the headphones on.
Yeah.
And
no,
I,
I'm committing.
But I can hear
I'm
myself.
Committing.
So... I wanted to know and just kind of gauge your opinion on, you know, how do you feel that this podcast, I'm not going to use the phrase helped your grief. I would like to ask, how has creating this podcast,
mm-hmm.
two seasons in,
mm-hmm.
meeting with so many great people and
yeah.
hearing so many great life stories.
Mm-hmm.
How has that impacted your own relationship, journey, experience with your own grief?
Sure. It's literally like therapy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a therapist because
no.
I cannot afford $130 out of pocket. And, like, I have...
No. I use my friends. Sorry.
you know, I'm just going to say it. Thank God for the Affordable Health Care Act that I can actually at least get some sort of coverage. But if you think that shit covers mental health, no. You're like, you can get on a Zoom call with some random shirt. I'm like, yes.
No, I don't want
to
do that.
You know what I'd rather do? Talk to my friends on a couch in a microphone that's a prop.
Right.
Okay. So I enjoy it because it lets me verbalize my grief. I mean, and like, I know that I share on the internet and I talk about the internet, but that's also a form of therapy for me.
Yeah.
Of like, I've always been a sharer on Instagram, like since the dawn of time. So like people always like knew my mom through my stories and my posts, whatever, because yeah. like she would be, if we had TikTok before, like, had we lived together in COVID and TikTok was a thing, like, we would have been that, like, duo.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what my stories were, which is why, like, when she died, I was like, what am I supposed to just, like, lie to everybody?
Right.
So that's why I, like, started sharing all my stories and my posts about, like, all of the shit that was going on. Mm-hmm. And in that, so many people were like, you know, keep doing what you're doing, keep sharing. And it was helpful to also like have somebody responding.
Yeah.
Because also like when you're grieving, the person that you probably want to share with the most is the person who's not there.
Right.
Or the person that you would go to.
Yeah.
So it's been nice to like share out loud and have people chime in with like their stories or, you know, just like the keep going, like you're touching lives.
Yeah.
So every conversation I have is kind of like a therapy.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, just through stories, but also like through every episode.
Right.
You know, not necessarily relating, but just like speaking on our truth.
Yeah.
Because it's a safe space, like you said, to share and not feel judged.
Yeah.
Because there are very many times where I'm speaking my truth in real life, everyday life, and I yeah. feel like people can't handle it.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make anybody going through like a mental health, grief, depression, anxiety right. feel good at all.
Yeah.
It actually makes them feel like total shit.
Yes.
When you're like, oh, you don't think that this is my truth.
Right.
Right? Like you find it to be dramatic or
right.
it's too much or whatever. And I get it. Like not everybody can always handle it, but like you can figure out a way to protect yourself maybe from someone else's shit.
Yeah.
By not being an asshole.
Yeah.
So at least I know when I'm sitting on this couch, I'm not in that energy.
Yeah. It's great.
You know? I think it's also, you're so out of control in grief that I think that this is a way for me to like control my thoughts surrounding it.
Sure.
I don't know, or like it kind of helps me pinpoint things that I feel or think.
Yeah.
Every discussion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just, like, feel like you're spiraling.
Right.
So, at least when I'm having these chats, I can, like, try to focus or organize my thoughts.
Yeah.
A little bit more with a human being rather yeah. than, like, myself. My brain.
Yeah.
Do I think it's, like, helped heal me? No. Honestly, the thing that has helped, quotes, heal the most has just been, like, every time I get to do some theater. And I think yeah. that's interesting.
Yeah.
Of, like, the escape from, like, the everyday, the mundane, yeah. the get up, go to work, do this thing, get a bit, go to bed. You get
yeah.
that really drowns me. Whereas, like, get up, go to the theater, play. It's like, I don't know, like...
We play pretend for a living. We get paid for it.
Play pretend with props, microphones.
What we've been doing...
for the last 10 minutes.
What we've been doing for the last 10 minutes, which we've been doing since we were 2.
Right.
We play pretend. I got up on that fireplace and sang every word of Aladdin, Jasmine's part.
Abby.
I hate Aladdin now, but that's okay. Different story. But, like, it's like we, you know... That you're right. It is very,
yeah,
very nice and refreshing. And like, you know, I was going through all my own very dark place during Beauty.
Yeah.
Like, I was in a manic place.
But could you imagine not having the show?
No.
Right.
I can't. The fact that I got to go to work to be a knife.
Yeah.
Every day was such, I don't know where I would have been had I not had it.
Right, and I'm like, I'm sure there's some sort of, like, psychological study that could be done, right? Of, like, the escapism of,
yeah.
like, yes, I'm me, but like for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, like, you know, I'm someone else. I'm somewhere else. I am someone, a feather duster.
Yeah.
We were items. I was something else for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But even like, you know, my mom died and Beehive was a month after.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But it gave my brain something else to fucking do.
Latch onto where you didn't have to fucking...
Right. So I just like feel like theater has been the only thing to actually help, quote, heal. I could not imagine doing this life.
Without that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's... the answer.
Yeah.
Especially for us.
Right.
To everyone out there who doesn't do theater and you have other passions...
Sure.
And loves. That's great. And we hope you enjoy that. We did. I know that sounded really shitty. We hope you enjoy it as much as we do. No, please enjoy the
Everybody
things.
Should have something.
Everybody should have something.
Escape.
For us, thankfully, and it's a joy and a love that we share.
Right.
That, you know, theater is such a safe space.
Yeah.
And in being a safe space, it's also an escape.
Well, and you're, like, surrounded by the world's best people. Everybody in the room is an empath. Even, like, the most narcissistic of us are still empaths in, like, a lot
divas,
of ways. Right.
The, you know, shitty people who feel they're smarter than the project or above it
right.
are still on the same wavelength of being, like, yeah.
I mean,
we're all here. We all have the same job.
Right. Like,
our job is the
human condition. It's, like, putting yourself in someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
So I think the bulk of us are big picture thinkers.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. So it's like you go to the space where you're surrounded by like-minded people
right.
who also can feel we're energy people. So it's like you can feel when someone's not themselves. Like, you can just tell.
Yeah.
And also, I think there's a thing of, like, you know, that we're seeing a lot of, like, healing the inner child and whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure that it has something to do with that.
100%.
You know?
Our business, for anybody listening who thinks that theater, as I scream into this mic, that's not working, it's hard. For everybody that's listening, and I'm going to zoom in on my face at this moment, for anybody that's listening, theater is hard. It's vulnerable, and it's difficult, and it takes a lot of freaking energy, but we love it.
And it takes a lot of disassociation. Like I said, Beehive was right into rehearsal a month after. 2 months I was on stage.
Yeah.
Also singing her favorite music. And
I was
going to
say,
your
mom loved that music. I remember you talking about it.
Keep my shit together on stage singing this music that only reminds me of her.
Right.
And no one in the audience know that I'm having a panic attack while I'm standing on a platform 5 feet off the ground in a spotlight by myself. When I'm like, I can't feel below my kneecaps. They're... more shows than not, I would have panic attacks.
It's
right.
so hard and so vulnerable, which makes it so rewarding and safe. And I love that that's your answer. I love that the answer to my question is theater is what does it.
Literally.
You know? And that's why I wish, you know, of course, you know, if there are any directors listening, I understand that it's hard. But like... that's why we want to do it all the time.
Right.
And that's why we want to be... that's why we put ourselves through these auditions. It's why we put ourselves through this life. Because for us, for you and me, it's like... It is our passion. And we do get to celebrate and be like... we do what we love. We
right.
don't do it because, you know, we're good at it. Or there's nothing else to do. Which, yeah, sometimes I'm like... you know, we do it because we're good at it. But also, like... we love it.
Right.
So that's why we want to do it all the time. And also because it saves us.
Well,
sometimes.
Think about, like, dance therapy, music therapy, like, all these different
right.
therapies that we put kids in when they, like, are speech delayed or movement delayed or they are struggling in school. Like, it also relates to adults.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're a lucky enough human who gets to do it as an adult while you navigate, like, adult life things,
yeah.
like... there is a benefit to it, and I would love to, like, talk to a psychologist about it. I'm like,
sure.
let's do a study. I know I have professors from UPenn that listen to this. Doctors of the brain.
Okay.
I'm like, let's do something where I'm just like, I'm so curious to see, like, the serotonin levels, the endorphin level change when you're, like, in a space where you're thriving, but, like, when you get home, all your levels drop. I would love to see more. Because I'm like, there has to be something.
Yeah.
But, like, even, like, just now, like, I was down. One, being by the water is just, like, healing for everybody.
Oh, of course.
But down in Ocean City doing Grease, and, like, people commented on, like, you seem, like, lighter. You seem a little more grounded. And I'm like, it's because I just got to be engulfed in theater and down by, like, the sea for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's working my butt off, but in a capacity that it's, like, it's different. Your brain is doing firing off different chemicals. I don't know.
What is that?
Your brain's like firing off different chemicals.
Sure.
Cause like you're just doing the stressors are not actual stressors.
Right.
Right. So I don't know. Like, I think the podcast overall, it's like a fun form of quotes. Fun. It's a form of therapy for me.
Well,
and
why
I
do you put
love
fun in quotes?
Cause like, I don't know. It's still a heavy topic.
Of course. But there have been many times that, at least as an editor's point of view, I'm like, they're laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I do want to say, yes, this the Grieving Girl podcast covers grief, and it is a very heavy topic. But there is an element of, and this might sound so twisted.
Yeah.
But there is an element of fun. When you get the DDC
together.
You know
who said that? Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
An element of fun.
Yeah.
You find the fun.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, bitch. Like, there is a moment of fun for it.
Yes, the two can simultaneously exist.
And
sadness.
That's half of, like, what, you go to a funeral and you get the whole family together and people fucking hate each other and then they're like, oh, but it brought us together. Oh, I haven't laughed so much. Like, oh, it's so great. Like, yes, there has to be, like, grief will always be a heavy topic, but it has to have an element of, I'll say it, laughter. I laugh when the DDC gets together. I don't laugh when you talk about your dads, like, obviously, but
we do.
But you do. Which makes me laugh.
I think that that's, like, an interesting take, because also all of us are 15 plus years out.
Yes.
In our grief with
that.
Where, like, sometimes, like, I'll say, like, something kind of witty with my mom, and I'm like, it still feels, like, too soon.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where I'm like, man, I can't really laugh.
Sometimes,
But yes, like, the three of us also have a dynamic.
Yeah, like, was it your virtual episode with Alexis?
Uh-huh.
That... She's a comedian, right?
Yeah.
That whole episode where I was editing, I was like, I want to be this girl's friend.
Yeah.
Like, how... Like, I love hearing her talk about it. And yes, there were moments where she would talk about her grandmother. It was her grandmother, right?
Uh-huh.
Her grandmother. And, you know, she would get so emotional. And I'm like, I'm here for this. But then she was just funny.
Right.
And I'm like... That is another reason why this podcast works.
Right.
Is because it's not just me being like, I'm going to listen for 45 minutes being sad.
Yeah.
Like, there are sad moments.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to laugh. I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
I get to experience all the emotions. And I love it.
Yeah.
Do you love it?
I do. I do love it.
I'm watching you like, yeah.
No, I do. It's funny because it's just like, I didn't like go into this being like, I'm going to start a podcast. It was almost like, everyone's telling me to do this, so I'm just going to like lean in.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are days where I'm still like, yeah, like I do this. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it to have the conversation.
Who are you doing it for if you're not doing it for yourself?
Other people that are going through the same shit that I went through. Where I'm like, let's feel less alone. But I don't know if it's, like, for me.
Do you feel...
Maybe I would feel that way if I had more time.
Okay.
You know, like,
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we're scheduling or whatever, and I'm like, oof, okay.
Yeah.
But I think if I had more time, I could just, dive in.
Yeah.
Maybe it would feel less.
Do you feel a little less alone?
I think I'm just somewhere different in my grief now. Yeah. So, I don't know if that means less alone, but I don't feel as the darkest days, I think, are behind me. When in the darkest days, in the length of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, shit still gets dark. But I don't know if I'm having, like, dark weeks, months. Okay. I mean, the first year and a half, it was just, like, dark as fuck.
Well, yeah.
So, and, like, it's crazy that it's been 3 years now.
Yeah.
But I'm only just honestly feeling like that. So,
but
it's year three for anybody who's, like, fresh into it. I'm like, no, it's, like, year three, and I'm just starting to feel like I don't cry every day.
It could be year three. It could be year six. It could be year 20. Like, there should never be a time limit on...
I had a griefy day the other day. It was about my dad because I had a dream and he, like, hugged me in the dream and I, like, felt it. I was feeling it when I woke up. I was feeling it. And I was like, that's fucked up. Like, I don't remember my dad at all, but, like, I know that that was him.
Yes.
And in my dream, like, it didn't necessarily, like, look like him, but, like, I knew that that's who it was. And he's been dead for 20 years. You know, we're still healing. We're gonna heal for the rest of my life, I'm sure.
Yeah.
From this trauma.
Of course.
But I think the darkest, which, like, that word doesn't even do it justice.
Right.
Days are finally a step behind.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, days, weeks, July, the whole month was fucked.
Really?
Oh my God. So bad. But, like, also because I've done a lot of reading and work, I kind of, like, as soon as I was feeling very off, I was like, yeah, it's because it's July.
Mm-hmm.
Subconsciously, we were already there.
Right.
So, yeah, that's been interesting. Just kind of clocking when I start to feel it and how.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, next season, I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, what that was going to be, to wrap it up, because this has actually been, I feel like this has been quite long of a episode, and I'm going to edit it down hardcore.
Yeah.
But
so, if somebody's listening, who cares?
Yeah. What's your goal for next season?
I don't know, because it's, like, a weird time of year now to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Because now rehearsals start.
Oh, yeah. When did they
start? So, end of October. So, like, November,
shit.
December.
Yeah.
Am I recording? Like, I don't
know.
No,
focus on...
So, either I have to get recordings going now through September, October, or it might not be till the new year.
Realistically, the only time you're really going to be able to record is, like, during the day or...
Right.
On Monday.
But now that I have the virtual setup,
yeah,
that could be fun to kind of, like, reach out that way and only use my AirPods from now on.
Okay.
So we'll see. TBD on season 3. If you've got ideas, DM us.
Yeah. And if anybody's listening and wants to be a guest or has been a guest or wants to be a returning guest,
fill out the form on the Instagram. There's
a
form. But anyway... Yeah, we'll see what happens in season 3 and when it comes your way, but for now, there's 18 episodes of The Grieving Girl to listen to. If you haven't listened to all of them, go back.
Yes, go
share
back.
Share with your friends.
They're so fun. Fun is not the right word. I probably should stop saying that.
Engaging?
Yes, that's the one.
They're engaging.
They're engaging. Yes, fun is not the right word. They are engaging, they're heartfelt, and they are eye-opening. And they're inviting.
Ah, good words.
I like that. I like that one, inviting. Because it really is, like, a podcast about, like, yo, you're going through something. It's life. You're not alone.
Right.
We may not be going through the same thing, but you're not alone.
Right.
I love that.
So that's that. We're gonna...
Is it time to cheers?
Yeah, let's cheers.
This
what
is
we cheers to?
I think we're going to cheers to a wonderful season 2, a wonderful podcast, and Chrissy's barbecue.
Yay!
Which we're going to after this.
Chrissy Freeland!
And I've started the music probably at this point.
Beep, beep, beep. Fake.
This is fake. Bye!